Over the weekend, Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist said Republicans might change Senate rules allowing filibusters on judicial nominees. Since the mid-1800s, filibusters have been used to delay action on the Senate floor. They have proven to be a potent tool for the minority. Democrats blocked several of President Bush's nominees during his first term in office. Frist said filibustering judicial nominees is radical. It is dangerous and must be overcome. Joining us now to talk about the future of filibusters is Ilona Nichols. She's a scholar at Indiana University's Center on Congress. She joins us by phone. Thanks for being with us.
Well, hello, Joe. Nice to be with you.
So how would Senator Frist's proposal change the filibuster system, or can he?
Yeah, he can. He's got two options, and I think from the speech he gave on Thursday to the Federalist Society, he's going to go, at least the signal he sent, was that he was going to go for the more radical approach, the more dramatic approach, but also the approach that requires the least votes to implement. It has been nicknamed the nuclear option because of the consequences that it would have in the Senate, that Democrats would go ballistic in response to it. But I think that that approach is the one he's going to take, and I'd be happy to describe it.
Well, yes, please. How does that work?
It is going to be an approach where a point of order would be made on the Senate floor that filibustering a judicial nomination was unconstitutional because separation of powers gives the president the right to appoint judicial nominees and the Senate to advise and consent. The Constitution does not say that a nominee needs an extraordinary majority vote. It just says a majority vote. And for 200 years, that has been a simple majority by Senate interpretation. So the point of order would be made, and the chair, under Senate rules, may not make a ruling on his own about constitutionality. He has to put it to the Senate for a vote. That question of constitutionality cannot itself be filibustered and requires only a majority vote of 51. And once that precedent through the vote of the Senate has been established, what you would be saying is you cannot filibuster judicial nominations.
But now, let's be clear, this would only affect judicial nominations, or would it be things as well?
No, just judicial nominations. The point of order would be framed so that it would limit the prohibition on filibusters only for judicial nominations. The filibuster, all senators on both sides of the aisle would tell you honestly, serves its purpose. And both parties have used it in very important moments. They don't want to give it up. It's part of Senate practice. It's not a trick or a maneuver. It's regular Senate order. But what is new is filibustering judicial nominations to the higher courts. The first time we saw that was the Miguel Estrada nomination that was filibustered by the Democratic minority in 2003. And that broke tradition. And we've been going downhill in terms of anger and threats of retaliation ever since the Estrada nomination.
So the notion of filibustering judicial nominees is new, and this is a way of excising just that.
It is, because even though nominations have been very, very controversial in the past, we didn't see filibusters. Jimmy Carter's nominees were not filibustered by the Republican minority under Howard Baker. Ronald Reagan's nominees were not filibustered by Robert Byrd's Democratic minority. Bill Clinton's nominees were not filibustered by Dole's Republican minority. There was just a tradition in the Senate that nominees deserved an up or down vote as a consequence of that separation of powers right of the president to appoint nominees. In the debate and in the vote on the Senate floor, the Senate would give its advice and consent. So breaking with that tradition, with that precedent, with that interpretation, and starting to filibuster appellate court justices was pretty radical change in Senate practice. And what I think Republicans are doing now, and Frist has definitely sent the signal, they're laying down the marker. They're saying, you're not going to extend this to potential Supreme Court nominees. Supreme Court nominees may be controversial. We've had hearings, we've had floor debate, but we've always had a vote. And you're not going to start not having a vote by imposing the requirement that we first have to break a filibuster with 60 votes instead of confirm or not confirm the nominee with a simple majority of 51.
All right. Ilona Nichols, thank you very much for explaining all that.
You're very welcome.
Ilona Nichols is a scholar at Indiana University's Center on Congress. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.